Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of The Spencer Hughes Show, just for my subscribers at ConnectPal. Carmine Del Sordi is a great guy. I first met him, quote-unquote, through the radio, and he communicated with me as a listener when he heard me on terrestrial radio in the Bay Area recently, and he told me about his book that he had written. And I'll be honest with you, I get a lot of requests to read books, and most of the time I don't even do guests. So as I've told you before, and this is true, when I do guests, it has to be something that's really had an impact on me. It has to be somebody I really, really want to talk to. There's a lot of people in radio, believe me, that have their producers gather up every novel, every cookbook, every doctor book, every political book, just to fill time. And they love doing that. And that's why producers are usually swamped with books all over their desk. Because, you know, guests can be a dime a dozen. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, everyone's got a book. Everybody's got this. But not all of them are worth doing. But Carmine's book was worth doing. Our guest is Carmine Del Sordi, who's an entrepreneur turned business leader. And this is his first book. It is a grand slam, pun intended. Welcome to the big leagues. 9 innings of essential tips for the corporate rookie. It's available on Amazon.com right now in hardcover. It's well worth it. It's under $20. It's a steal. You could also get the Kindle edition. Maybe you're running out of bookshelf space and you still want the book, but you want to go digitally. You can do it on Kindle as well. Carmine, great to talk with you again. How are you?
Same here, Spencer. I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's a pleasure. And this is really, really a great book. And it's one of those books, I'm telling you, that if kids had to read this coming out of school, they'd have more than a leg up on the competition. This is the kind of stuff they ought to be teaching. This is the kind of stuff that ought to be coffee table material for your average young American, especially, who's entering the corporate world for the first time. And there really aren't that many rule books out there. There's bookshelves in the bookstores full of books, Carmine, on business. And you look under, you know, entrepreneur, and there's dozens and hundreds of books online and on Amazon. And yours really, really sticks out because it's easily readable. It is really, really in-depth. I love the meat of this book. It's not necessarily a quick read, and it's not meant to be. It's one of those books you really want to digest chapter by chapter. And the baseball theme really, really helps everything out and moves everything really, really well because a lot of business books, frankly, are very, very dry. You've got these books, Carmine, that are written by gazillionaires. And I've noticed that some billionaires are the most boring people on the planet. I don't know how they did it. It wasn't personality. I mean, they write dry. They are dry. They interview dry. You are fantastic. You have a lot of personality and a lot of charisma as you write this. And it's a very, very good read. And I want everybody to read, especially the millennials.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. And the reason I did it was my way of giving something back. I was really blessed with world-class role models throughout the first phase of my career, throughout 17 years. And all of them are retired today. And their common denominator, a biggest gripe, was that they waited too long to give something back. They were older, gray, and really felt that their message couldn't resonate with this younger generation. So now at the midpoint of my career, I wanted to give something that is not out there. I mean, between grad school and being in management for so many years, I had to read books every quarter throughout the years, and they were all the same thing regurgitated. And no one addressed the holistic picture, how to get someone from point A to point Z the right way, and to be able to sustain greatness and success. And that's what Welcome to the Big Leagues does. It's a comprehensive guide to sustained success in career as well as in life.
Well, I don't want to date this podcast too much because people might be listening to this in the year 4250, Carmine, and we're dead for thousands of years. But the Giants are really, really kicking butt right now. It's a good time to be into baseball and a lot of excitement going into the playoffs and heading towards the World Series. How did you connect the two? How did you connect the business world and the corporate and entrepreneurial world with the big leagues? Because it's really brilliant. I mean, a lot of people have connected life and day-to-day life with sports for a very long time, but I've never seen a business model book like this that's really fun to read because it ties in with America's favorite pastime.
Well, that's exactly where I was going after. This book is America all the way. And what is America's favorite pastime? Baseball. And that's really the logic I had. I needed some sort of marketing edge to get it out there, to separate myself, to get the very important message delivered. It's how do you get something to really appeal to the masses? And personally, I'm more of an NFL fan, I hate to admit it, than baseball. But when doing the research and trying to craft the message, it is baseball. There were so many commonalities between baseball players and employees and baseball as a business to corporate America, as well as the unwritten rules of corporate America. And baseball has unwritten rules as well. So also some of the players and coaches, the quotes and advice that they give back are just hysterical. Makes for great reading.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's funny you say that because whenever you see like inspirational quotes from sports, it usually isn't from basketball players. It's usually not from football players. It usually goes back to the greats of baseball. I think that's really interesting.
It is. It is. I mean, everyone from the old timers and Willie Mays to Jackie Robinson and all the great old players, even Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, as obtuse as he was. It just really makes for terrific reading. And a lot of those players were world-class role models themselves.
Absolutely. And I think this has a universal appeal. But tell us how Welcome to the Big Leagues, why it's important and how it stands out from other books, because as I told you, a lot of these books are a dime a dozen, but yours really struck me. It's very readable. It's great advice. Mm-hmm. And it seems kind of, I mean, it's perfect for people entering the entrepreneurial world today. Why is it important? And how, in your mind, I know you're the author, so you know, you're a little biased, I understand.
Right.
But why does it stand out in your mind as you were writing this compared to other, you know, tomes that have been written on business practice?
While in corporate America, I've done a lot of MBA recruiting for companies and motivational speaking and working on corporate communication panels to enhance global communication. And so much of what you say is governed and restricted. Having the freedom and liberty to really tell readers and millennials and this younger generation what they need to know about the maze of corporate America and the landmines in life, how to really sustain greatness and success. I do all that. And so it is, it's a how-to book tackling things that HR will never let you tackle, like mental well-being, economic well-being, and all of those personal things. But in my mind and in reality, if the wheels come off in any one area of your life, the others collapse. So you need a strong foundation and cognitive awareness on all aspects in order to thrive. And it's very similar to crime, where ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ignorance of not knowing the right way and the right thing and those pitfalls that could get you is no excuse. It's going to happen. So educate yourself and be ready.
You say you're kind of mid through your career. I feel kind of the same way with my radio career. I know the best years are yet to come for both of us, Carmine. Mm-hmm. What is different in the business world today? I know that in the radio business, it's not even the same animal. And I've only been in it 20 years, and it's a totally different industry. If I were to give people advice how to get into radio and how to succeed, you know, 20 years ago when I started, it would be very, very different advice than today. It's changed that much. What about the entrepreneurial world? I know a lot less about that, but you're obviously expert at that. What are some of the maybe disadvantages and maybe some of the advantages as well of somebody coming out of school and entering the entrepreneurial world and the business world today as opposed to maybe when you started?
Well, it's so drastically different. The biggest thing today and the biggest change is people's need for immediate gratification. They want everything in an instant. And you know what happens in an instant? Accidents, mistakes, crashes. Those are the types of things that happen in an instant. In order to be great on a long term and thrive, you have to plan, prepare, and have a strategy, right? Everyone always believed that practice makes perfect. Practice doesn't. It's such a big misconception. Practice makes permanent, which could be permanently wrong. Only perfect practice makes perfect. And
that's a great distinction.
A lot of the kids really, they just don't have it today. They don't have the discipline or the focus. And everything is just abused. Communication, Take IM, for example, instant messaging, right? Everyone's writing shorthand.
Everyone's doing it.
Right, right. And then when they come in a business world and have to send an email, mistakes, errors, lack of clarity, not simplicity or global appeal of the message, that they're doing more harm than good by putting that out there. The worst thing is you get that from a lot of the foreigners and working globally where English is the second language. But for Americans, where English is your first language, to be communicating like that, it's just unacceptable. It's such an erosion. And it's not only in that, it's in their own definition of success. And they believe that life, and they're trained that life consists of one climatic moment after the other. And that's a great comparison to baseball, where a baseball player could be a natural and their career is only 10 years. In the business world, there's no such thing as a natural, Spencer, and careers span 40 years.
Yeah.
It's not climatic moment after climatic moment. Promotions, raises, they're very few and far between. It's dealing with the grind, bettering yourself, understanding that there's no loyalty anymore with companies to people. At the end of the day, you have to have the right mindset and realize that it's all you're worth are your skills. So if you don't have the ambition and internal motivation to build your skills day in and day out, you're left with nothing. 10, 20 years will go by and you'll be stagnant in a plateau.
Now, what has changed with regards to that, Carmine? And that reminds me of the radio business too. I mean, we have the legends that I can mention by name, but I won't because there's too many, that we're at the same radio station. You know what I mean? I mean, you and I both know who we're talking about. The people that are at the same radio station 43 years. And I worked with a guy who passed away, sadly, a few years ago, who had only really been the star on one radio station. It was like over 50 years. I think he actually broke the record, if I'm not mistaken, for longest time spent DJing, you know, and hosting on the same station. And now you don't see that anymore. I don't expect my kids, the job they get when they're out of college, or out of high school or in a trade or something, I don't expect that that's the job they're going to retire doing. I mean, it seems crazy. I mean, it used to be that our parents went to, you know, they used to go, my father drove for United Parcel Service for 40 years. I mean, you don't hear, you know, I don't picture the young truck driver today, you know, when he's 60 years old saying, I just retired after 40 years at United Parcel Service. I mean, even that kind of an industry, it seems like, it's like we go through jobs like we go through television sets and cell phones where like nothing's meant to last. But what's the top things that account for that, where you don't, you just said about the loyalty, there's no company loyalty. I see it the other way around too. I see a lot of young people going into jobs, as you just mentioned earlier, and they want instant gratification. They don't want to dedicate the time, hours, blood, sweat, and tears to their bosses. So it doesn't shock me that there's less loyalty from the company to the employee when I see the same thing going in the other direction. But what are the main things that account for that? We get a job and we're 25, and we assume now that we're going to have 30 different careers by the time we're old.
Yeah, well, technology has a lot to do with that. It's a small world now, smaller than it's ever been. And through advances in technology, we are able to work so efficiently globally. And with that, it is. I mean, there's no doubt that our middle class is being outsourced, making it more and more difficult. And why would I pay someone here top dollar when I could get someone smarter from India with an MBA and advanced degrees for half the price? And that is the reality of it. I mean, your competition is no longer that person sitting next to you in a classroom. It's the entire world.
And I know this is politically incorrect, but I don't necessarily blame people for outsourcing in the way they do. I always challenge people who call up saying, it's outsourcing, man, and you know, Apple's building stuff in China. It's like, well, if Apple could build a computer in Los Angeles, okay, or in the Bay Area, okay, in Silicon Valley, and it costs them 10 times as much, why would they do that? And I always challenge people. I go, if your business is building pencils, if you could build a pencil in China for 4 cents a pencil, or you could build one here and have someone make it here for $2 a pencil, where the hell are you going to make it? I mean, obviously, you're going to go to where it's cheapest. What are your thoughts on outsourcing? I mean, there's people that think it ought to be downright illegal. I think as long as we have a free market and people can build a widget cheaper in India than they can here, all power to them. I mean, if I'm going to sell a pencil for $2, I don't want it to cost $1.89 to make.
Well, people view outsourcing as something that's just black or white. Oh, either you're for it or you're against it. I think every company is different, and what works for that company based on their margins, their structure, and what they could achieve, their systems, and how much they did input into and spend into their systems. And I think it plays differently for every company. But for those that are really upset with outsourcing, I would just say realize how many emerging and prospering areas throughout the world want to be like Americans, buy our products, buy Apple, buy Microsoft, and all the great products and our drugs and advancements and everything we offer. They want to be like us and they're doing it. And that's our marketplace. So the fact that we're looking to improve margins someplace else, I mean, it shouldn't count strictly against us. They're our consumers too. It's
Sure.
a, that's what I'm saying. It's a small world. So you can never stop or condemn someone from trying to do something cheaper or better or improve margins in that regard. Then once the margins are there, what are they doing? Should be hiring the right people, helping to grow the company and sustaining profits.
Absolutely. Let's talk about something again, a connection between baseball and the corporate world. And that is the proverbial and ugly slump. We hear, oh, the pitcher's in a slump this series, he keeps giving away all these hits and everything. And players get into slumps, business people get into slumps, radio people get into slumps. And what, in your definition, is a slump? And what's the best way to get out of one as quickly as possible?
Well, perspective, it's in your head. Things are in your head. And life can be viewed as a slump. And that's the thing, too. Everything I'm teaching in this book is how to go about greatness, what is the plan, how to do it. And a slump really is everyone's own perspective, not using your time wisely or preparing to advance your skills or grow your skills. And that's the bottom line there. What is a slump? Life is hard. Reality is hard. Doing the right thing, whether it's I'm dieting, I'm trying to lose weight. Oh, I'm in a slump. I didn't lose anything. Oh, I'm trying to budget and save money and build wealth. Well, I'm in a slump. It didn't work that way. Well, I've been in the same job 5 years, no promotion. Well, I'm in a slump. So the term itself is more pronounced than baseball, but in baseball, everybody's in a slump when you think about it. The best hitters among the game only hit 3 out of 10 times. So if that's
Yeah.
not a slump, I don't know what is.
No, absolutely. And you're right. It's all perspective because, the sales guy could say, I'm only selling 200,000 this year. I'm in a slump. And then the other person's like, oh my God, I've never made that kind of money my whole life. I mean, I'd like to be in that kind of a slump. So I guess it all depends. Like I only ran one marathon this month. I'm in a slump. One person's slump is another person's, highest level of achievement, really, too. So you're right. A lot of this is in your head in how you view it and how you deal with it.
Right. And the biggest shock, too, that comes to the system is people are paying so much today for education. They graduate with, let's just say, $100,000, $200,000 worth of debt. And they're expecting now to just come to the big leagues and the business world and thrive and make a ton of money. And it doesn't work that way. Coming into the world with that much debt, you're in a slump. The deck is stacked against you. And the only way out, like in baseball, is to practice perfectly. Have a plan that you follow and maintain the discipline to do it and live it every day. And it's baby steps. Tiny baby steps in the right direction over time accumulate to be a great step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Let's talk about well-being, which is an important part of this whole equation and the balancing act. And I saw an article in the San Francisco Chronicle recently on the best careers, for the work-life balance. And that's a bad situation a lot of people get in where they're really, really successful at work. Then they neglect their husband or their wife and their kids. They let things slide, maybe even their health. And it's all because of the climb uphill up the corporate ladder at the expense of everything else. But the key, Carmine, right, is managing life with a balance of work and life and managing all these things and family and commitments. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things you talk about in terms of managing life and career with balance?
So in that topic under well-being as a whole, and that's the piece of the book that really relates to everybody. I coined the acronym as POEMS for physical, occupational, economic, mental, and social. Those are the five key areas of well-being that people need to know how to manage and have a strategy for. And when you pursue those areas in moderation and with discipline, your life can come together as harmoniously as the POEMS acronym. And that's exactly what it takes. So many managers, even if we go back to corporate America, managers expect great results, but they never teach how to get them, right? How do I do it? And you can't expect people to just know. Everything takes discipline, strategy, and a cognitive awareness on knowing how to succeed, and then making those steps day in and day out towards it. And on many occasions, learning what not to do is so just as important as learning what to do.
Right.
You can't, in today's times with competition so fierce, you can't afford to make every mistake yourself. You have to have the awareness that, hey, well, there's danger here. I'm not going to make that turn. So-and-so did. Engaging in drugs or even things like gambling or risky investments, it's going to put undue pressure and stress and hurdles into your life that are going to affect other areas. What I try to do is actually map out a plan on how to go about managing each area successfully so you can thrive in life. Everything starts by knowing who you are as a person and your core values, and really living it to develop your brand. And once you know who you are, and if you're a person of integrity and those things, or faith or spirituality, those things that are most important to you, you could make those decisions each day that help keep you on a right path towards a more fulfilling life. Because a lot of people that don't define who they are, know who they are, and stick to it with conviction, they become lost or derailed. And people, where the Germans have a word for this, it's called Schadenfreude. And it's in regard to people who take pleasure in the misfortune of others, right? And the world is a harsh place. There's many of those out there. But people do take wrong turns in life. You had people like Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. He was a Harvard grad and a brilliant mathematician, and takes a turn in life to where he's putting bombs on plane, a Bernie Madoff guy, robbing people, and so many. And it's like, you know, let's focus on ourselves, being the best that we could possibly be, building our skills, doing the right thing day in and day out, and helping others to do it. And there's some great people doing that today. People like Derek Jeter, I mean, just a prime example of someone who deserves to be a role model and deserves his success.
Absolutely. I want to spend the last segment here, if we could, on something really, really important I want people to focus on, and that is your great blog and website, and it's a great forum for people to check out, the Corporate Rookie blog and forum. Let's talk about all those dozens of articles. You have, what, more than 30 articles there now that you've written on your blog, thecorporaterookie.com?
Yes, yes. And that was the thing, too. When I first started Welcome to the Big Leagues, I wanted it to be very small and short, like a guide, where it was going to be 9 innings, maybe 5 critical tips in each inning, and 2 pages each tip to really pack a punch, and just have a 90-page book in there. And it became something so much more. And then after people digest that and read the book, it should create that thirst for knowledge and keep them wanting more. So I expand on it through my blog and giving and expanding more on different topics relevant, and it just really expressing almost like your radio shows, current events and topics and more perspective to shape and mold the mind and remind people of the right way of doing things and how and things to look out for. So I've been committed to building that site, and it's taking off very well. Another area is the forum. And the forum was designed to allow people who need help, or people in my network who are very seasoned in the business world, to come in and engage as a community to share knowledge. ask those questions where you may need help, where you think you're going wrong. And the beauty is you could be anonymous, so you don't have to resort on a colleague or admit weakness or that you don't know something at work. You could come here and pass a question without being judged and receive some very, very solid advice. There's an area in the forum called Career 911, like help. We need some help. And so it's just getting off the ground, but hopefully I could build a thriving community there where people could just engage among themselves and really spread knowledge.
That's fantastic. The website keeps getting better and better. It looks even better than when I talked with you, a couple of weeks ago?
Thank you.
And you're always adding new articles and stuff to the forum. People can ask questions. I don't advise people do what I did, which was log in as Popeye the Sailor Man and heckle you under that name. I'm confessing now that when you see Popeye saying things to you, it's really me. I'm just teasing you. What are your plans for, like, is there going to be like a sequel? Or what are your current plans, my friend? This book was so good. I hope it's not the last thing we get out of you.
Well, I mean, I am eager to get back into the business world, but for the right role. Like I said, I am at the midpoint. But with this book, depending on how the attention goes, I did craft about a 90-minute lecture. So I do plan in my spare time to go out and maybe do some road shows, speak at colleges or anywhere I could go to actually help, right? Help sure. This younger generation to thrive. I mean, I don't like seeing the cards stacked against anyone. And really, it's just to bring out the best in others.
Absolutely. I've got six kids, Carmine, and I don't worry for them individually because they're great kids and they have good heads on their shoulders. But I just know it's so much tougher for them and for young people, you know, being born today, just with the level of competition and the way the business world is changing, that books like this can give them that little, you know, extra oomph that they need. I mean, really, the motivation and the stories. And I thought maybe we could conclude with a story. There's a lot of them in Welcome to the Big Leagues. Is there a particular one you like more than others, or do you have a favorite if you had to pick one, or do you have one you'd like to conclude the interview with, sharing with us?
Well, when I define the book itself, I really, Malcolm Gladwell, I'm not sure if he read any of his work, but I'm a huge fan of his. Books like Outlier, Spencer. And
no, I haven't.
The Tipping Point and Blink. Just a phenomenal writer. I mean, his work just really resonates with me. And in his book, Blink, he talks about your first people's first instinct on something, whether you look at a painting right away and you say, "Ooh, you got a bad feeling, like that could be a forgery." And then the experts come out and say, "No, it's real." They do all their tests, and months later comes out it was a forgery. Your first instinct was right. Well, in the book, he talks about New Coke, when New Coca-Cola came out in taste test. And in taste test, it actually dominated the market, where it beat, hands down, Pepsi, and it beat the old Coke formula. So Coke thought they were onto the biggest and greatest thing, and they just immediately changed the formula. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the world was flooded with New Coke. And all of a sudden, it hits the market, and it fails miserably. And they're baffled. Well, what happened? Well, in a taste test, it was fine, but it ended up being too sweet that when people bought a can to have with their lunch, they couldn't endure the whole can, and they were throwing it away.
It's too much of a good thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it was way too sweet for them. So I define my book as the opposite. It's not one story or one chapter that is the best ever written, but when you endure the entire book, you are going to leave with a wealth of knowledge that is so valuable and critical to thrive in today's day. And that's really the best way I could put it.
Well, it's fantastic, my friend. You have a real winner here. It's Welcome to the Big Leagues, 9 innings of essential tips for the corporate rookie. It's on Amazon.com right now. It's a steal. I've always thought about this with books. And Jim Rohn, my late great mentor, one of them, Carmine, said that you have books called, you know, titled Think and Grow Rich. Right? And why wouldn't you read that, right? For $4.99, why wouldn't you pick up a book called Think and Grow Rich? I mean, the bookstores are full, Amazon now, even more so, full of these gems like your book that for under $20, really, if authors charged, well, some authors, some are just junk, you know, pulp type, pulp fiction type junk, but books that really, really educate, as your book does, have potentially millions of dollars worth of ideas contained in their covers. I've always thought that fascinating. When Jim Rohn said that, you know, if you could buy a book that could give you potentially $100 million idea and it only costs you $20, why the hell wouldn't you buy it?
Right, right, so. Exactly. And the reason I came out with we did the hardcover first was because it's actually meant to be given as a gift. And it does make a perfect gift for $20. Everyone so easily gravitates towards buying a Starbucks or iTunes gift card to give as a gift.
Yeah.
And it's like, give something with more meaning, more purpose,
oh, yeah,
that could really strike the audience and set them up for success in life. And there's no schemes or scams or nothing in it. Everything is real, 100% accurate, and with integrity. And that's what we're doing. We're putting all good stuff out there.
Well, it is fantastic. People can go to Amazon and get it. Also, a Kindle edition, too, if you're running out of space on that bookshelf, you can get the digital version on your Kindle. I want you to go to thecorporaterookie.com. That is Carmine's fantastic website that gets better by the day. He's got dozens of articles on there. He's got the forum where you can participate and ask questions as well. And Carmine, I really appreciate it, my friend. I definitely want to talk again. And you've been a great inspiration to me. And I'm glad I don't believe in coincidences. Mm-hmm. I think the universe puts us in touch with people that we're meant to be in touch with. And I don't think it was a coincidence that you reached out to me, that you happened to be listening to my show and you could have been listening to 1,000 other things or doing 1,000 other things. And then we kind of clicked. Mm-hmm. And I got your book in the mail and I read it and I fell in love with it and I read it again. And here we are chatting and becoming friends in real life. And I don't believe in coincidences.
Me neither. There's too great of a grand design here to be on this tiny little speck of dust in a otherwise incredibly harsh galaxy, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I could be talking to like porn stars and, you know, movie stars and stuff and, you know, record producers. You know what I mean? Those are a dime a dozen, but I'm talking to Carmine here. So Carmine Del Sordi's book, Welcome to the Big Leagues. Please check it out and please bookmark his website. And how often would you say you post new stuff? I want people to always be refreshing and checking back. But if they go to thecorporaterookie.com today, they may miss something that they didn't see a few days or a few weeks back.
Right. Well, I'm actually delivering new blog posts about one every 10 days. And then the forum itself, I mean, that should be just a live community with real-time information.
Sure.
So trying to get the word out there and get more people involved to come in. It's all free. Register and see what type of advice is on there. Because much of it, too, there's different sections in the forum, where whether it's career 911 or overall wellness in general. I mean, any advice that you could help share and put out there, right, get engaged, help someone else. We're creating a forum, so share your voice, help others. That's the only way we're going to thrive as a nation, really, looking out for each other.
Absolutely. Carmine, great to chat with you. Congrats on the book, and we will chat again, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Spencer. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And get everybody to get this book. It's on Amazon, and again, thecorporaterookie.com. We appreciate Carmine's time, and it will not be the last time you will hear him in this forum on this site. Thanks, everybody, for listening.